Greetings, true believers, and welcome to another edition of the Big Brother Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always, I'm here with you to talk Big Brother 17 with a different Big Brother alumni. And today I am joined by a great man. He's a fellow Big Brother super fan and nerd who ended up getting cast on the show. Without him, there is no me, there is no Ian Tarin, there is no Steve Moses. It's the great Ronnie Talbot, ladies and gentlemen. Ronnie, how the hell are you?
Been doing very well, Jordan.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Ronnie. I really do appreciate it. And it's funny, I was talking to Ronnie before the show, and I was telling him that on my bus ride home after the show was over, all the jury for my season, all the jury and like the finalists and everybody, we were heading home back to reality. We're going to this hotel, and I had a conversation with the great Godfrey Manguiza, and Godfrey was saying to me, Ronnie, that he said to me, I said, Godfrey, who do you think the best player is in Big Brother history? And we were going forward, we were going back and forth, and Neha was in the talk, and I was saying, oh, well, I think it's got to be Dr. Will. I mean, Dr. Will's the best. And then Godfrey was thinking, and he's like, yeah, no, I don't know, y'all, who it is. And he's like, oh, wait, I know, man, it's Ron. BB11, you know, Ron. I was like, Ronnie? And he's like, yeah, man, yo, that guy was good, yo. You give that guy like two more weeks, best player ever, yo. Man, that guy is so good. And he just went on. And Ronnie, Godfrey loves you so much. So hopefully Godfrey will tune into this show too. And he can see he's the best player ever, Ronnie Talbot. So Ronnie, yeah, my friends love you. I love you. And I'm so happy that you're here. So thank you so much for joining me today. If you guys are new to the Big Brother Happy Hour, what this show is we recap Big Brother 17. So the episodes during the week. And we, at the end of the episode, we're going to just talk about the spoilers, what's going on with all that stuff. If you want to support the show and you like what I've got going on here, you can do so by subscribing on iTunes. So just go to robhasawebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. And while you're there, if you could leave us a review, that would be awesome because that helps the show grow. So if you leave a rating and a review on iTunes, whether it's good or bad, hey, I've had plenty of good ones. I've had some bad ones. One star, five stars, whatever you prefer. It's awesome. I appreciate the feedback. Let me know what I can do better to improve this show. That would be awesome. And at the end of the season, I am going to be drawing one name out of a hat of those people that left a review, and one lucky person, or maybe not so lucky, will win a 30-minute Skype call with me to talk about whatever you would like. We can talk about Big Brother Canada 3. We can talk about casting. We can talk about Big Brother 11. Whatever you'd like to discuss, we can talk about it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to it. Okay, so Big Brother 17. It's been a very interesting season, Ronnie. Let's first off, before we get into this, what do you think about this season? Are you liking Big Brother 17 so far?
I am liking Big Brother 17. I actually think this is a really good cast. Normally, you know, when you see the cast, there are at least a couple people that you look at and you're like, maybe not so much. No, I liked everyone this season. There was no one that I was like,
Yeah, really, honestly, I love that face. If you're listening to this in the audio archives, come back to the YouTube video and watch Ronnie's face. It's great. He's just kind of like, yeah, definitely. I agree with you 100%. I think Robin casted an excellent job, and this group is great. I really do like everyone that has been on the show. They've brought something to the table, and I think that is really, as a fan, Ronnie, as a super fan, you understand.
Oh, yeah.
Just bringing something to the table. That's all we ask. And really, you even go back to Jace, you go back to Large Jeff, you go back to Audrey, you go back to all these people that were on this season. Everybody brought something to the table. And as a fan, I think that's really all we can ask. Now, before we get into the recap of this season, I want to let everyone know that's watching this live, you can send us your questions using the hashtag RHAP on Twitter. So you can tweet us. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Ronnie is at Ronnie Talbot. You can also leave a comment on the YouTube video as well, and we can take those. But before that, I wanted to say, Ronnie, did you see the interview with Les Moonves this past week in which he was talking about what he thought about the cast so far this season?
I did read that, and you know, I have no idea what he would be referring to, because the only thing I could think of that maybe is the cast is great. I like the cast a lot. I know there have been some missed gameplay opportunities as far as the fans feel, and I definitely feel sometimes they chose the safer route than gameplay, but I mean, it's still a really good cast, I think. So,
yeah, I mean, and he said 5 or 6 people disappointed. Like, who, who is he referring to? I don't
no
understand.
Idea.
Maybe, I mean, from a game perspective, he's talking about people, but in terms of characters and different archetypes and stuff, I really do think this cast is the best one we've really seen. In my opinion, probably maybe since Big Brother 10. I mean, it's a very, very solid group of people. So, I don't know what he was thinking. But, yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Weird that Les Moonves would say that. But, hey, I guess, I don't know. He's a network executive, and you and I are just two pre-jury players from Big Brother. So, I mean, what do we know, right? Anyway, let's get into this past week of Big Brother. So this week, there was a lot of discussion about this week. There was a lot of different ways in which things could have played out. It was very interesting. Let's rewind a little bit. Let's go all the way back to the HOH competition. And my boy Steve Moses won that HOH. Ronnie, what do you think about that move with Steve winning that HOH? And did you like his decision to go after Liz and Austin finally after what seems like months of waiting?
Well, you know, it was a good decision, but I mean, as I said on Twitter, did he have any other decision that was good for his game besides that?
No. At this point, unless you're going to put up, I'm going to put up Johnny Mac and Vanessa. Like, no, that would make no sense. So.
Yeah, there was only real allies kind of left.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I agree with you, too. I think he didn't really have a choice in that regard. What do you think about the double eviction, him and not going after him and Johnny Mac? Kind of, they ultimately, before James goes home, they decide to vote out Meg instead of Julia. Do you think ultimately, now looking back and how that turned out with Steve winning that HOH, do you think that that was the right move for them in hindsight, or do you still think that was an opportunity lost not voting out Julia and getting rid of Meg instead?
Oh, I still think it was a lost opportunity, because I know everyone on Twitter said, oh, Liz still would have won, but I disagree, because when you're in there and you're in that game, it's easy to get thrown sometimes. And the way that they had that twin connection, if Julia was voted out, Liz would have been crying because it would have been unexpected. I mean, when they announced the double eviction, Johnny and Steve should have flipped right then and blindsided Julia. That's what they should have done, because Liz would have been crying. Liz would have been upset. She probably wouldn't have won the HOH. James could have put, you know, maybe Meg could have pulled it out. Maybe James would have done better. I don't know. No, but it would have given them more of a chance, I think.
It would have been interesting. Yeah, that's one of those things we're going to look back on this season. And I think that is one of the turning points of the season was that decision. And ultimately, that could influence if we walk away here at the end of the season with Liz or Austin winning this game, it could come really down to that decision with them deciding to not make a move. But who knows, maybe if they got rid of Julia, Liz is rattled, she doesn't win that HOH, one of them goes home, then you got to deal with James and Meg. So that would have been it's so many different directions this thing could have gone. But I agree with you, I think it probably was a little bit of a lost opportunity. Looking at how things turned out for Steve and Johnny Mac, it did end up working out all right, but I do think that you're 100% right in that when somebody gets blindsided, and trust me, I know firsthand what it feels like to get blindsided. You're rattled. You have no, your heart is racing. You're incredibly emotional. And for my allies on my season, they managed to recover okay. But I think it's a little bit different when it's your showmates or it's your
twin sister.
Yes. Your essential, you know, best friend in life that you've played this entire game with. You're on top of the world. You think everything's great. And then just like that, ripped right away from you. So I agree, Ronnie, 100%. And I think that would have been could you imagine that night, how that night would have been and the difference in the public perception? Because the people that night were just going off about how, this is the worst. This is such a terrible episode. I'm never watching Big Brother again. And it was crazy. But had Julia gone home and had another twin gone home, that people probably would have been saying that was the greatest double eviction in Big Brother.
I definitely agree. It would have changed it. And plus, I mean, even if Liz didn't get like sad, she would have been angry. I mean,
yes,
and that would have maybe even been better,
And then going to war and then like swearing and all this stuff, yeah. And the live and then the producers having to constantly cut the audio because yes. of the cursing. Ah, that would have been great.
See,
I love that.
We haven't seen a good fight. We have not seen a good. When was the last good BBUS fight? I mean, really hardcore good one. Was
the
it
last
when,
good one?
Ooh. Was it when Willie headbutt Joe?
I think that might be the last good one. Yeah, Ronnie. Because, I mean, let's think in this season, there have been some altercations. We've had Vanessa go off on people, and we can go into that a little bit later. But not a fight, not like going head to head. Yeah, 16, there wasn't really anything. I mean, there was the whole situation. I mean, the veto ceremony in which Zach Rantz gets up and he basically calls Devin a clown, and then everyone's calling out Pow Pow for throwing the Battle of the Block competition, and Brittany Martinez is calling her out. But that wasn't really that fiery. I think I agree with you. Yeah, I guess Willie Hantz, that was a really good one. And also on the feeds of 14 when Willie Hantz, Frank Udy, and Mike Boogie were going at it talking about the Fruit Loops. That was a great fight. A great fight on Ian versus Frank with the Ian fingering him and going like this at the camera multiple times. I mean, that was great. Yeah. But those are probably, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess in 15, we could talk about what else was there in 15. I guess the Aaron flipping the bed. There was that.
Yeah, but
and then who voted out David after the first week when she won HOH and she's like picking people and freaking out. But that's probably there hasn't been a Liz fight afterwards going at Johnny Mack and Steve. Mm-hmm. That would have been epic television.
Yes, it would have.
Great. And dream scenarios, Ronnie. We can think about those all day and go back about all these different seasons. But anyway, we get to Steve and he wins this HOH. And ultimately, he targets, like you said, doesn't really have a choice. He decides to go after Austin and Liz. Liz breaks down in between Liz talking about seeing Sigmund and Freud, the show in Las Vegas after the season. She's crying after the nominations and says how upset she is. And she just completely breaks down. Mm-hmm. Ronnie, you and something that a lot of people complain about on Big Brother is people crying a lot. And we saw a lot of Liz crying this past week because of her going on the block and her game was coming crumbling down. And now she managed to survive ultimately, but it was a very emotional roller coaster for her. Ronnie, can you talk a little bit about how the psychological and emotional warfare that you go through as a house guest, because you, I think, are a great person to talk to about this, because I mean, you were locked in the HOH room just yourself for how many hours was it again, Ronnie? Was it 18?
Oh no, it's more than that. It's like 3 days.
3 days. So to talk about that, how Liz is going through this and this crying. And we see this from Vanessa a little bit too, but can you just talk about can you describe what it's like being in that little bubble and how crazy it is when you realize, oh crap, my game might be over?
Well, you know, for me, it's different for everyone, of course, that's in there. But for me personally, when I was in there, it wasn't the, oh crap, my game may be over. Oh crap, I made a terrible game move. That wasn't what made me cry. I only cried that one time when I saw my wife's picture and I realized I missed my wife.
You missed your wife.
That's what got me.
Right. That makes sense.
But the game thing, maybe it's because I'm a gamer and I'm used to dealing with the ups and downs of playing games in general. But I don't know. For some people, it's different. For some people, the, oh crap, my game just melted down. That is what makes them cry. And obviously for Liz, that's
what it was. That's what it was. No, that's interesting. Yeah. And I think that that's a really good point. And that you look, and I think the difference between someone like you and someone like Liz is that you can look at the game objectively and you can say, okay, this is a game. If my game ends, whatever, this does not define me as a person or anything like that. It's a game. Whereas for Liz or somebody who's more of a recruit, that kind of type of character that ends up on this show, I think it's a little bit harder to differentiate between the two. Absolutely. And I think there's also something to be said as well in that. And I think you and I don't know what this is like, but getting to that deep into the game, getting to Final Six and being in a spot where you think, whoa, I can smell the money. Yeah. I'm 2 weeks away from this thing. And all of a sudden it comes crumbling down. And, you know, luckily for Liz, she managed to survive. And we'll get into that in a little bit, that decision. But it's a wild game. And we see people complain a lot about crying and how it's annoying and it's frustrating. But yeah, it's tough. And I think that if you are listening to this and you are frustrated with it, I agree. I get frustrated by seeing Vanessa and some other people crying all the time too at times, but at the same time, these people are humans. It's hard. Yeah. It's a very, very hard game. Yeah. And that's why we see that. So it's interesting. It's a very interesting thing. And we could do a whole podcast about the psychological and emotional warfare that is Big Brother.
For sure. And if I made it to the final three, who knows? But I don't think I'd cry. If I got cut at the final three, I'd be like, y'all go to hell. Forget this. I don't care. I turn around and be like, whatever.
Michelle, you're the most despicable human being I have ever met.
I probably wouldn't even hug anyone at that point. Now the final three. I'd be like, see y'all in 20 minutes. I'd probably like storm out the door.
Oh man, I remember watching that moment as a kid, seeing you say, Michelle, you are the most disgusting human being I have ever met, or whatever you said, and I was just like, whoa, Ronnie, oh my goodness, that was amazing. I love that.
She and I became friends after the show. We still
that's
talk.
Amazing. How is Michelle doing, by the way? Because I've seen lots of different things from Michelle on social media, and
she seems to be doing pretty well right now.
Okay, good. Good for Michelle Noonan. I felt so bad for her on your season. But oh man, that's hilarious. Hilarious. Big Brother 11 talk. Oh, we'll save again. Another podcast. We'll save it. Okay. So Wednesday. Okay. So that was the Sunday episode. The Wednesday episode. So we see Liz crying and all this stuff. Steve's talking about he was playing a very defensive game before, and now he's going on the offensive. He's going to start playing aggressively because he needs to change his perception in the jury house in order to get the votes to win the game. Ronnie, what do you think about Steve's game so far? And do you think right now, based on the move that he made this week, if he ends up in Final Two, he's got a good shot at winning this game?
Well, we got to see exactly what specifically happens between now and then. He is absolutely right in that he needs to do something to generate favor in the jury house. Because if I were in that jury and had played this game, I would look at Steve if he did nothing at the final two and be like, why should I vote for you? You don't have any qualifications. But he won this HOH. We'll see how this, we got rid of Julia. But we got to see what happens, I guess. We got to see what happens and how far Steve makes. If he wins a few more competitions and is able to get a few more key players out and then get there, I think he could maybe win.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think now, and this is something that if you listen to the Rob as a podcast episode on Thursday, we had Brent Walgamott talking about how, I believe it was, it was on the Thursday show. He said, in order to win this game now, you got to have a bit of a resume. It's different than the Dr. Will era. Unless it is Dr. Will, or you're just so amazing and everyone knows that, but you got to pad your stats a little bit. You got to show, hey, look, I did this like Ian Terry did. You got to have those comps to back it up. If Ian's in that final two against Dan, I mean, maybe he wins just because he's so lovable and likable, but I don't know. I don't think that he beats him in such a big blowout if he doesn't have those competition wins behind him. Now, Steve is starting to finally build that resume. He's got those two HOH wins. He's got, does he have one or two vetoes at this point? I'm not 100% sure, but
one.
So I think now is when he can kind of turn on the jets and hopefully, I'm hoping, because I love Steve to death, I hope he can turn it on and have what it takes to win this game. And I think he has it inside of him. It's just going to be interesting to see if he can pull off these competitions. Yeah. That's really what it comes down to at this point of the game. Now, we saw the POV comp this week, and it was the Bowl Arena competition that we saw from Big Brother 15. And interesting enough that we saw the main showmance that was really controlling things that season in Amanda McRae. They were both on the block for the first time during their season, during this competition. Now, again, fast forward two seasons, Big Brother 17. We're in a very similar situation. Austin and Liz are on the block, and they're planning to win this veto. McRae won that veto on his season. Now, we're in a situation where Austin wins it on this season. So interesting to see these comparisons. But before I get ahead of myself, the host of this competition is none other than the great Mr. Pectacular, your good friend, Jesse, Ronnie. Now, Ronnie, what do you think about Jesse? And I just want to ask you on a personal level, like, are you still friends with Jesse? Do you keep in contact with him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still talk to Jesse.
That's amazing. That's cool. Yeah. So now, do we see Jesse coming in this role and he's doing this stuff and the Julia is saying, oh, he's so, oh, my God, he's so hot, oh, all this stuff. But then she says, as on the feed, she was saying that Jesse is very short. Ronnie, how tall is Jesse? Do you know?
I'm just shy of 6 foot tall.
Okay.
He's about 5'9".
Okay, so he's not that short.
No. Here's the thing about it. And you know, I kind of, again, as a super fan, when Jesse first came in the house,
right?
You just get this impression. You know what I mean? Everyone does it watching the show. You get I get the exact opposite impression. When people meet me, they go, "I can't believe you're that tall."
Right.
And I'm
okay. They're like, that makes sense. So because Jesse's a huge guy, the perception is, ooh, Jesse's 6'5" and humongous. Right. When in reality, he's not. All right. That's interesting. Yeah. I would agree with you for sure. And you saying that you're 6 foot, that surprises me because, yeah, I would not have guessed that. And for other people, like, yeah, I'm 5'9" on a good day. So other people see me, they're like, all right, you're appropriately sized. So that's interesting.
Yeah. People always say, I can't believe you're that tall.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah. It's one of the, it's interesting about Big Brother is that you get these perceptions of people, but you have no idea how big or tall or short or small that they are in real life. But then, yeah, it's completely different than you would actually think. It's the same thing with like Hollywood people, right? I mean,
Tom,
Tom Cruise is
like 5'7".
Yeah. Yeah. So. People are like, what? It's 5'7". It's crazy. So in this comp, so we see it's one of these ones where you have to pick people and, go up against each other, go head to head and call people out. The order is randomly determined. And Julia gets her decision to challenge next. And Vanessa tells her to challenge Austin because if Austin wins, both twins will end up on the block. What does she do? She picks Austin. Ronnie, what the heck? What was going through your mind when you found out that she made that decision? And two, is this a testament to how good Vanessa is at this game, or is it a testament to how bad Julia is at this game?
Well, I think it's kind of a testament to how bad Julia is because people always say, I mean, Vanessa's playing a great game. She's playing a great game. There's no question about that. But I always say people are only as good in the house as the people around them are bad. If that makes sense, because someone could have like the best ideas, but if the other people aren't stupid enough to fall for them, then it's not going to, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I hear you. Yeah. So you're saying that the field that Vanessa is surrounded with, that's making Vanessa is look, if she was, she had a tougher field, it would be different. That's what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. She would still be good. I feel if she was around a tougher field, she would still be good, but she would not be as in control. That's my feeling. Because every week she's like determining things. Because, I mean, if, for instance, if I were in there in Julia's spot and Vanessa said, hey, pick Austin, I'd be like, no. You know what I mean? Like,
well, no. We know you would say that, Ronnie. But you shut your mouth, Vanessa. No, that would be. No, I agree with you. That's a really good point. I think that, but at the same time, I think that yes, Julia is, and I think it's more a testament to Julia probably being a weaker player. But at the same time, if you look at these seasons that have no returning players, it's just a field of people off the street. There are some recruits, there are some super fans, there are some sort of fans of the show. There are usually on all of these seasons some very stupid people and people that don't know the game. And I think that there are some people I've seen on social media and on forums and online and stuff saying, oh, well, Vanessa's got all these stupid people and that's why she's good. And the same thing about Derek last season. Oh, well, Derek had these crappy people on his season. Well, you know what? Honestly, if you look at the if we were going to take the average IQ of all of these seasons, or Big Brother IQ of all of these players on all of these seasons, each season would probably have, other than an all-star season or a season with returning players, most of these seasons would have it would be pretty even, I feel like. I think the only difference we can look at is if we have a returning player on a season with a bunch of players that have never played before. So, for example, on your season, Ronnie, you throw in Jesse in there, even though really looking at it objectively, if I'm looking at you and I'm looking at Jesse, I would say that you are, if I'm putting you in a season 100 times, you're going to do better than Jesse would if I were going to throw him in a simulator to play a game 100 times. But just the fact that right off the bat, he had played once already, he had a huge leg up on all of you guys. Yeah.
He talked to us about that in the house, actually, because, you know, me being a super fan, my thought was when I first saw Jesse coming in, once we had an alliance, yes, I knew Jesse was a good alliance member for myself, but I thought, what can I learn from him that just about playing this game previously, that you know what I mean? That was just my thought. And I said to him, I said, so what's different this time versus last time? And you are 100% correct. The first thing he said to me was, just the monster of the day-to-day operation of the house, just the pressure of living in the house. And that's why, like, when season 14, Dan's funeral and everything, I mean, that's why stuff like that worked. Because other vets were gone. And I said this when I was talking to, like, Dick and other previous players, nothing against Dan. I like Dan. Dan's a great player. There's no question about it. But if Dan had tried that on a season of all vets, the other vets would have been like, oh, that's cute. You're going home. I mean, but it worked.
That's 100%. And I agree with you. And I agree. Dan is one of the best players of all time, if not the best player of all time. But that funeral, I would have loved to see him try that if Mike Boogie was still around, if Jamal was still around.
Yes.
That would have been something that would be very entertaining to see. Although, at the same time, really, if you look at the funeral, the funeral was really just, I mean, if you look at the move itself, the big move is him just going to Frank, selling out the Quack Pack, and then having Frank just say, hey, Jen, use this on me. I guess the difference is that if it was a veteran season and Dan's up there doing his funeral, somebody probably, you or someone like that, would get up and say, stop, shut up, Dan, this is over. And you just end it. You wouldn't even give him a platform to do that. So
probably.
The funeral, amazing television. One of my favorite moves ever. But yes, I just want to talk about all these other seasons too. We gotta stay focused, Ronnie. I gotta stay focused. Okay, so keep it on the Big Brother 17 stuff. So we had also after this conference, so we saw Austin win, and he yells out, "Judas is here! Everybody, be afraid!"
Oh my god.
Ronnie, how if you were in there and Judas, and someone said to you, "Judas is here, be afraid," on a scale of 1 to 10, how afraid would you be if said person just went back in the house and was going to Liz, oh, babe, like, I still want to be with you, and didn't do anything? How would
right? Well, first off, if he yelled, Judas is here, be afraid, I would say, someone called Dr. Zachary, I am afraid. Because, I mean, that's crazy. Who goes on there with two personas? I don't understand that.
I don't either. And I feel really bad for Austin, because I think he doesn't have a lot of awareness of how we are viewing him at home.
Right.
And he's going to get out and think, man, there's going to be like a Judas Twitter account, and all these other people are going to be loving me in the hat and all this stuff, and Liz Tin, and I got all this stuff going on, and I'm going to be on Bold and the Beautiful and everything. And it's not going to happen for him. It's sad, and it's unfortunate for him.
The fame seeking bothers me, Jordan. It sincerely bothers me.
Yes.
Because, like, when he shouted, well, I know it's getting a little bit ahead, but, like, when he shouted out during the Thursday eviction episode, put me on Bold and the Beautiful, please. I was like, can we not? Let's have a modicum of dignity. Just a modicum, please.
I, yeah. And that's, I agree, Ronnie. It's crazy. And Real question for you. Who has more a higher chance of getting on Bold and the Beautiful this next season, you or Austin? Because I think it might be you.
Well, I mean, is this Austin trimming the beard ponytail? Or?
Well, he said he's never trimming it. So
then it's me.
It's you. All right. Lock it in. Ronnie Talbot will be on this next season. If there's a higher chance Ronnie is on Bold and the Beautiful than Austin. Get your Vegas bets in, ladies. Oh, my God. Yeah, like that really irks me, too. And I think especially for us, because we're such huge fans of this game. We were such huge fans before. That was a big reason why we got cast on the show. And to see somebody get on the show, and yeah, Austin was a big fan of it before, but just to see this ulterior motive of him just wanting this fame. And we even saw, I saw Steve on the live feed say last week that nobody after Big Brother has become famous, like literally nobody. I mean, Frankie Grande has been doing some stuff, but that's just Frankie Grande could have been doing that stuff without Big Brother. I mean, exactly. That's because of his sister. That has nothing to do with Big Brother. You just look at Big Brother. No, I mean, even the most beloved person ever, Jeff Schroeder from Big Brother, he's not even famous. I mean, he's just, you know, he's kind of just hosting CBS stuff. So if Big Jeff is not famous, certainly Austin, you are not going to be famous. I'm really sorry to break that to you, but I don't get it.
I mean, I went on the show like you. I wanted to live my dream of playing Big Brother, maybe win some money, hopefully. That those are the reasons I did the show. And that's honestly,
yes, and that's it. Really, it's to play the game, to win some money, and to get the experience. And that's really because it's a once in a lifetime sort of thing. And just enjoy it when you're in there. Don't be focusing on, ooh, I got to get on the outside and think about what my stuff that I'm going to do and my wrestling career. And no, and it's just annoying and frustrating to watch. Yes. But I do wish Austin, I'm going to be sending him some love after the season, because I think he'll probably be the only person sending him love once it's over.
Well, I mean, we're all in the same Big Brother family regardless. You know what I mean? Oh, we're all in the Big Brother family, so.
Yeah, for sure. And it's something we don't like to see for sure. And then, but anyway, we see Austin win this veto, and we see Vanessa Julia and Liz go to Vanessa, and they're talking about, well, Julia says, well, I think that was like a really dumb move of me to do that. And I don't know. I feel like I was played. And Vanessa says, well, no, like, oh my God. Like, no, that's not what I was doing here. Like, are you kidding me? I swear, Mel, like, this is a move. Austin, he should have thrown the veto to you. And that's like what he should have done. If he really was looking out for you, that's what he would have done. And sure enough, she somehow spins this whole conversation to convince Julia that Austin is the bad guy. And Liz and Julia are doubting him. And there's all this stuff going on. And I was amazed that this was working, Ronnie. Does this just come back to the fact that Vanessa's just against a field of people that have never played this game before? Because time and time again, she goes to this crying thing and she just says she swears on everything and you got to trust her, and she gets really upset and calls people out. But it's working, and I wouldn't think this tactic would. Would you ever try doing something like that?
Well, you know, me being a man, if I were trying to, you know, cry and act the victim, you know, which is what I did when everyone was against me, I think it would work better for me, because I think people view that as much more pathetic. And so they're like, oh God, that's so pathetic. I'm just going to let him be. I'm not going to worry about it. But as someone, if she were crying to me, I would have been like, dry your tears, sweetheart.
Yeah, and and Ronnie, it's time and time again that she keeps going to this. Do you think that this is game from Vanessa, or do you think this is legit? Because we haven't gotten a diary room yet where Vanessa has been like, ooh, I am controlling the house and crying to everyone. This is not me crying. What is it? Because I can't really tell watching it.
Yeah, well, she said in her HOH letter the last time she won HOH, was it a week, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, yep.
Yeah, when she won that HOH, she said in her HOH letter that week that she wasn't going to divulge her strategy to America.
Right.
That she was going to wait till after the show. And I call crap on that. And this may be controversial. I don't care. I think she said that because if she wins, she wants to be able to say, I had this planned all along. But I think if she's evicted, she wants to be able to say, oh, well, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen. You know what I mean? She doesn't want to look bad if she loses. Which, who cares? Just say your strategy to America.
Yeah, and I think that in her head, I think Vanessa might be thinking, and honestly, Ronnie, I agree with you. I think that that is something that she's probably thinking about, and she's probably thinking about how America is perceiving her, and she's not sure what's going on. So she's just holding her cards closer, you know, closer to her vest, because she doesn't want to reveal what's going on.
Her poker cards.
Yes, exactly. But I think that I think it's the wrong move, because yes, after the season, if Vanessa wins this game, she can go off in these interviews and ebooks or whatever the hell she wants to do, podcasts, and say, yeah, this is my game and it was all planned and this is what I did, blah, blah, blah. And sure, that will make her look good. And I guess that in a sense is smart. But at the same time, I think that if America could see Vanessa in the diary room saying, yes, this is what I'm doing, I am lying to these people, mm-hmm. I am manipulating all of them, I am playing all of these people, I think that the public perception of Vanessa being one of the best female players ever would be, or the argument that Vanessa is one of the best female players ever would hold a lot more merit, because right now, people, there's the opinions are so varying on her. There's so many people that are saying, yes, Vanessa is amazing, on the assumption that these diary rooms that we aren't seeing should be there. And that's really what's going in her head, on in her head. And then there's these other people that are saying, no, this isn't what she's doing. She's just an emotional wreck. Right. And she's sort of like, and I don't know if you're a fan of Survivor, Ronnie, but Tony Vlachos, who won Survivor Cagayan, he was very up. He wasn't as emotional, but he was very up and down throughout the game. Now, ultimately he won and in my opinion is one of the better winners to ever, and one of the better players to ever play the game. But I think that if he were to be crying and doing all this other stuff, and if he weren't to win and we didn't see his confessionals with him explaining the things that were going on in his mind, I don't think his game would have come across as well. I think people would have been like, whoa, you're a little bit insane right now. And that's kind of what's been going on with Vanessa.
Yeah, she just needs to own it.
She needs to own it. Yes. And right now, just looking at it, without her hearing what she's talking about in the diary room, without her divulging her strategy in her HOH letters and whatnot, what do you think about if we do leave this season with Vanessa as the winner of Big Brother 17, where does she rank for you in terms of the winners of this game?
Well, if she wins without knowing that, she's obviously a good gamer. I mean, she's better. It's not like she's, what am I trying to say? It's not like she stumbled into the win. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
She absolutely would not have stumbled into it like, oh crap, I randomly did stuff and found myself in the final three and I won, you know?
Jordan but, Lloyd. I love, by the way, I love that. But
yeah, no, Jordan's a very sweet girl, but as a member of that cast, I can promise you, no one ever saw. Jordan herself told me when I was HOH that she was going to be long gone and I would be at the end. Yeah, no, that happened the other
way. Really? That's amazing.
She told me that. Yep. Yeah. But anywho, I would put Vanessa, I mean, without being able to list all of them exactly, whatever, me personally, I would guess for me, Vanessa would end up ranking somewhere around 5 to 7.
Yeah, I think that's a really accurate ranking, Ronnie. I think that that's a really good spot for Vanessa, because, and going through it, I mean, we could probably, in my opinion, and I got to do a podcast about this in the off season. I'm sure I will. But I think you've got to have, you know, your Dr. Will, you got to have your Dan, you got to have Derek. And then after that, you can kind of make an argument for a bunch of, you know, your Andes, your Hayden Moss, your Mike Boogie.
I think Dick is up there too.
Dick as well. Of course, Evil Dick is up there. I forgot about Evil Dick. That's and how can you forget about Evil Dick? He's definitely in the discussion. So yeah, I think that would be an accurate spot right around there. But I think in terms of female winners, I think Vanessa would probably be the best. No, Ronnie?
I don't know. I think Rachel Riley.
Considering her path to the game. Yeah, that would be an interesting debate. Yes, because of what Rachel went through. Yeah, that's something you could definitely argue. But I think she would definitely be in the discussion of best female winners ever. And probably, honestly, one of the best female players ever. And really, at this point, even if Vanessa goes home, I think that again, this is why it bums me out that we're not seeing these diary rooms of Vanessa just owning what she's doing. I think that if she were to be in there and own it, she would already be in that category of best female players ever by default, regardless of where she goes out at this point.
I think she's definitely in the top three. I would put Rachel Riley one. It's easier for me to rank the top female winners because, well, unfortunately, we've had less of female winners.
Yes.
Rachel be number one. I think June would be two. And I think I'd put Vanessa at three.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that, that would be very interesting conversation we could have. But yeah, I think that would be a fair spot for her.
I want to see Vanessa beat a guy. We have never had a female contestant beat a man.
Yes, Ronnie, I agree 100%.
Never.
And in Canada, we had it once, but it was by mistake. So that was by accident because somebody voted the wrong way. Shout out to my girl Topaz. But yes. And that is something that, we did see it this season. Never mind. We saw it with this season at Big Brother Canada 3. I totally forgot my own season. Sarah Hanlon beating Godfrey Manguiza in the final two. So it's happened twice in Canada.
Haven't
seen it in the U.S. once. And that's interesting. We've had three seasons up north. Twice it's happened. Once by mistake, but still. And in the U.S.,
17 now, and it's never happened.
Never happened.
That's why if I were ever in the final three of two women, I'd be like, I'm screwed if I don't win this. Because neither of them's taking me because it's never happened.
No, unless you're in the final two with Rachel Riley and Janelle Perzina, and then and you.
Well,
then,
I think,
then maybe they take you.
I'm not beating anyone anyway.
No. Hey, Ronnie, $50,000. Okay, that can't hurt. Get a little cash in there. Why not, right?
I want to see it happen. I do. I think it can happen.
I think it can. And honestly, Ronnie, I think that this could be the season in which we see it because I don't know if we see Liz in the final. I think Liz has a good case really against anybody considering what she's done. And again, depends on what she's doing moving forward. But I think that Liz has a good case. And I think Vanessa has a good case if she's there in the final too. So it's going to be, and that's again, great part about this season. And we talked about this right off the bat. There are no duds. Every single person here that's going to be in the final two, any of them can make an argument as to why they deserve to win the $500,000.
Yeah, I was talking about that with my wife yesterday, actually, when we were talking on the phone, that anyone that's left, there is no one that would have zero resume points to say.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what exactly. And that's incredibly rare. At final five, that there's nobody, like, because usually there's
a couple
Victorias or you're
right.
I don't want to diss any other people, but there's people that are usually not really doing anything. And I thought someone like a Meg would easily be there, but she's not. So it'll be interesting to see. Now let's fast forward a little bit. So let's wrap this up and we can get into the live feeds in a little bit and take some of your questions. Again, if you want to tweet us using hashtag RHAP, or if you want to leave a comment on the YouTube video below, that would be great. And we will answer those at the end of the show. Okay, so the Thursday episode, we saw Liz making this deal with Vanessa, this crazy deal where Vanessa has all these parts and if either of you or Austin win HOH, you got to not put me up and I got to choose who goes home. And if one of you guys is in final three, you take me. This insane deal. She's doing this stuff. Liz and Austin are saying, yeah, just to appease her and whatnot. And ultimately, the house guests land on sending Julia home over Liz. And there has been a lot of talk about this on social media, Ronnie. I've seen you talk about this on social media, tweeting about this. You really did not like this move. You thought this was a really poor decision for these guys, correct?
Oh, yeah, because Liz is the better player between the two. And at this point in time, you get rid of the better player.
Yes.
You may never get another chance.
Yeah, and now this is interesting, and I agree with you on paper. I think that 100% is definitely the move. If you're a Johnny Mac or a Steve, those guys, I think it totally benefits you to get rid of Liz. Because, yeah, if you look at Liz and Julia, clearly I think Liz has more chops for this game. She's also tight to Austin. Mm-hmm. And if they were to get rid of, they were to break that up, I don't really know if Julia and Austin, the two of them, would really mesh together too well. Because we saw it on the Wednesday episode. Julia flip-flops so much with Austin this season. Mm-hmm. She said she hates it. Oh, my God, I hate him. And she's throwing all his stuff out of the bed and saying that Liz needs a new bae. And then, but then again, on the interview, her interview with Julie, she says that, oh, well, yeah, he'll be here for Christmas dinner and yeah, maybe they'll get married and all this stuff. But I don't know. I really think that after a week of Liz being gone, she would kind of just do her own thing. However, for Vanessa, I think that was the best move, Ronnie. And here is why, because looking at this on paper, if Julia were to stay in the game, I think that Vanessa instantly probably becomes the biggest target in the house because everybody realizes, whoa, Vanessa's playing. We saw it from Steve in the diary room this week saying, whoa, Vanessa's very manipulative. He said it in his HOH blog. I think Johnny Mac recognizes that. Austin and Julia recognize that. And I think she would have been in trouble. Now, however, the situation that she created for herself, she's in a spot where we have Liz and Austin on one side who, if they win HOH, they're going to go after Johnny Mac and Steve. And we have Johnny Mac and Steve on this side and Steve can't play. But if Johnny Mac is to win HOH, he's going to go after Austin and Liz. If Vanessa just sits back, she's good to go. So that is my logic behind it. And I think that's why, honestly, again, it goes back to Vanessa controlling this game. That's why they needed that decision, because she just wanted to go with it. And for her game, I think it was the best move. Now, do you agree with that or do you think that I'm crazy?
No, I can see your definite point there because socially speaking, if they got rid of Liz instead of Julia, then Austin's girl would have been gone. Julia's twin would have been gone. And so it really tosses the players up in the air, so to speak. And if Steve and Johnny Mac moved quickly, they could have been like, hey, Vanessa's now the biggest threat. Come over here. We'll go to the final four. Let's get rid of Vanessa now.
Right. Exactly. And because I think the way that they would view it is because right now the situation that they're in is if you're Steve and Johnny Mac and you see, whoa, there's Liz and Austin, they're 100% going to final two. Right. Just them. Nobody else. No ifs, ands or buts about it. Whereas if it's Julia and Austin, if you're Steve and Johnny Mac individually, probably both of them are thinking, whoa, I have a chance of going to final two if I'm in the final three with these people. I want to keep them around. So I think maybe that's for what was going on in Vanessa's head. And I think it was a brilliant move. There's been a lot of people that have just said this is terrible, but the fact that Vanessa was able to recognize that and do it, I think it was great. Now we'll get into the HOH in a little bit and talk about that. But yeah, I think that just looking at it at the time, I do think that that was the best move for Vanessa only, not for everybody else.
I agree with that.
Just for Vanessa, right? And it helped her in the fact that Austin was the other person voting with her, and it was only three people voting because she knew, hey, guess what? Austin's keeping his girlfriend around. We have the majority. Johnny Mac, you might as well just vote with us because your vote doesn't matter anyway.
Right. But just like a little flip side to that, if Austin had been smart enough to realize I like Liz, but if I go with if I can flip it and get rid of Liz, I have a clear path to the final four, maybe three. And yes, he totally could have blamed it and you know, shifted that vote on someone else. Then I would be like, holy crap, Austin strikes when the iron is hot.
Okay, that, holy crap. Ronnie, that would be amazing. The problem is Austin does not think like Ronnie Talbot and vote against Braden Baca after saying he's going to keep him in the house. So, but that, my friend, would have been nuts. Epic. And that would have been an amazing move. Yes, that would have been great. Because, yeah, he could have pinned it and been like, no. Oh, my gosh, what happened? Oh, Vanessa, oh, I hate you. We're coming. Yep. And then everybody could turn around.
Yes,
yeah,
could have told Julia, Vanessa flipped. I know it was Vanessa. She got rid of your sister. Vanessa would have been persona non grata in the house.
Yes. And honestly, I think Steve and Johnny Mac would have been, or Johnny Mac even would have been fine with being in on the plan and knowing that to say, hey guys, guess what? Next round, we're going for Vanessa. We're all in on this plan. We're gunning for her and she's done for. That would have been amazing.
Johnny Mac's already been evicted once and he was lucky enough to get back in. So if I were him, I'd be trying to be as strategic as possible. But ultimately, every week I'd be like, anyone but me.
Yep.
Anyone but me.
Because you have a second life. You have a second life. The Sandra T.S. Twine strategy from Survivor, just survive, baby. That's all you got to do. Just keep on going. As many weeks you can get, it's a bonus because it's his second role in the game and he's doing it. So anyway, let's speaking of this HOH competition, let's get into the live feeds in a little bit here. And let me get my little spoiler buzzer sound here. Da-da-da. Okay, so Don't know if you guys could hear that, but that was a taboo buzzer. So spoiler time, we're going to be talking about the spoilers. So if you do not want to know who won Head of Household, you can tune out right now. You can join right back in after the Sunday episode, because Ronnie and I are going to be talking about the nominations and what happened with that. So hopefully we will see you after then. And don't forget to tune into Rob as a podcast on Sunday night. Rob will be back with Taryn Armstrong talking about the episode, what's been going on the live feeds, all that jazz. So definitely check that out. It's going to be a really good show. Okay, Ronnie, HOH time. We were talking about, I was talking about how I loved the move by Vanessa. It was a brilliant move to vote out Julia and how great it was. Because in my opinion, I thought, hey, she can just throw this HOH. One's going to go after her. Even if she does end up on the block, she's not getting voted out.
Right.
And sure enough, she wins HOH.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on, Ronnie? What is Vanessa thinking here?
Bad. I think it's a bad move. I don't want to get into this second, but by the time we're done, I want to talk about how I think she screwed herself for next week. Big, big time. Because she...
We can get into that actually in a sec here. Let me just announce who her nominations are. So Vanessa, she had to pick a side. She's smack dab in the middle. Had she not won HOH, I think she's got a free pass to Final Four. And from there, she can just win out and essentially win the game. Instead, she's in a spot where she is left defenseless next week. Essentially, she has one veto comp to save herself. If she doesn't win that, she's pretty much done. But her nominations were Steve and Johnny Mac. They are on the block. Power veto is going to be happening later today. Might be even happening as we speak. I haven't been checking the feeds as we've been talking. I don't think it's going on right now, but we will have a power veto winner later today. But Ronnie, what do you think about this decision for Vanessa? So she backed herself in the corner. She decided to win HOH, which is probably, and I know it's easy for us to say, oh, she should have thrown it. But honestly, she would have been fine and she should have thrown that comp. And as people that have played this game, as somebody who threw a competition when I was on the block to go home, I certainly would have thrown that comp. And now we know how that turned out for me. But for her, I think she would have been A-okay because, hey, she could have played in the veto. She could have won that, could have saved herself that way. But regardless, she chooses Steve and Johnny Mac instead of Austin and Liz. So she's flip-flopped back and forth. She's gone to all these sides. What do you think about this decision, Ronnie? Did she choose the right pair to nominate? Or do you think that Vanessa should have nominated one from each side of the house?
Well, she definitely should have thrown the HOH first because she was going to backstab some alliance. It was either the alliance with Steve and Johnny Mac or the alliance with Austin and Liz. But I think the one from each side would have been the safest bet and told the each side respectively, I need a pawn from each side for this to work. That way she stays in the middle. Because if she had thrown it, Johnny Mac was going to go after Austin and Liz. Steve couldn't have won. But Austin and Liz were going to probably go after
Steve and Johnny Mac.
Yeah, I mean, so it didn't matter. She still would have been sitting in the middle pretty, but now she's kind of played her hand.
Yeah, exactly. And now it's like, all right, well, this is the side I'm going with. Better hope this works. And
yeah, exactly. She's forced herself in a corner. And that's why I say she is utterly screwed for next week, because now she can't play for HOH in the Final Four. And I know what everyone says, and it's not untrue. The HOH doesn't really matter in the Final Four. It's the veto because it gives you the voting power. But you know what? The HOH does matter in the Final Four because it's an autoimmunity to that Final Three.
Yes. And thank you for bringing that point up, Ronnie. I agree 100%. The way that I view that veto at Final Four, or just the week of Final Four, is it's like a week of Survivor, okay? It's Survivor. There's two immunity necklaces. They're up for grabs. One has the power to help you send someone home. One is just a straight-up immunity. Go get it. Get those. And that is all that matters. Just survive. That is all that matters. Just survive. And now Vanessa is going to be in a spot next week where she has to win veto. If she does not win veto, her game is over, in my opinion. She's going home.
Oh, yeah, she has to. She has to, Jordan. If she does not win veto next week, she's cut. Period.
She's done. She's done, Ronnie. Yes, because if you're in that house, if we were in that house, and I'm sure these people are thinking about this the same way, if they have a free shot at Vanessa next week,
Why wouldn't they take it?
You better take that shot. Yeah. You got one last free shot. You take it. And yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it's going to be really interesting. And I felt like that in Big Brother 14, I thought that Dan was in a really tough spot when he was in Final Four, because he had to win because he went on the block and he was going to have to, you know, and he didn't even win the veto. And I thought, holy crap, Dan's done. And then he manages, and again, the beauty of Dan Gieseling's game, he manages to convince Danielle to use it. And we saw that whole blindside with Shane, right. But I don't see Vanessa pulling something like
no.
that. She's got to win.
And for everyone that's watching this that maybe say, no, this isn't going to happen, let me just really quickly break it down, because I've done the metaphoric numbers, okay?
All right, I like this. I like this.
Right. All right, let's say if we don't know who's going to be evicted this week, right? We don't know. Right. But let's say, you know, the nominee, whether it's anyone, it doesn't matter. Anyone who may stay, even if they don't nominate Vanessa, and she doesn't win that veto, because that's what Jordan and I are saying, right? That if she doesn't win the veto, she's done. Then under any scenario you run, Vanessa winds up making it to the vote. Under any scenario you run. So that means if Austin is there, is Austin voting Liz out over Vanessa? No. Is no. Liz voting Austin out over Vanessa?
No.
Is Steve going to vote out J-Mac over Vanessa?
No.
Switch that around. Is Johnny Mac going to vote Steve out over Vanessa?
No.
No. Is Liz going to vote Steve or Johnny Mac out over Vanessa? No. I really don't believe
Interesting.
So.
Interesting. That is the one.
That maybe, but
maybe if Johnny Mac, and again, this is where Vanessa comes into her game and how good she is. Guess you know who her target is this week, Ronnie? It's Johnny Mac. And if Johnny Mac goes home this week and she's in a situation where she's on the block next to Steve, Austin is HOH, Liz has the vote, I think Liz is going to vote out Steve.
That'd
so
be dumb.
That is the one. It's very dumb. It's very dumb. But
right. But see,
because of the vitriol she's got for Steve now, that is the one scenario in which I think Vanessa is going to stay. I think maybe too, another one that I could possibly see would be if Liz wins HOH and Austin and Vanessa are on the block and Steve is the only vote or Johnny Mac is the only vote. Because to break up Austin and Liz, so that way there's a situation in which they're, you know, because if Liz or Austin wins the final two HOH, they're taking the other person. Your worst case scenario, if you're a player in that house, is if Austin and Liz are final in the final three, because then you have to win out. So I agree with you. She is very, very screwed. There's few scenarios in which she can survive. And if they're smart, they're going to vote her out no matter what next week. But I do think there is a chance if she gets rid of Johnny Mac, I think there is a chance. However, Johnny Mac can easily win this veto. Anything can happen. We have no idea what's going to happen. So it's going to be really interesting. And now this brings up, let's get into the questions here, because we've got some questions. People are sending us their questions via Twitter. And if, again, you want to tweet us, use hashtag RHAP, leave a comment in the YouTube video below, and Ronnie and I may answer your question. This is the first one here I've got from Leighton Jansen. And Leighton Jansen says, hey, love the show. Spoiler question. If Steve or Johnny Mac won the veto and then Vanessa would be forced to put up an Austin win, the vote would be a 1-1 tie. How would Vanessa break the tie? Now, this is going to be interesting, right, Ronnie? Because
I thought about this.
Right? Like, what do you think is going to happen here? If we're in a situation, we've got Steve and Johnny Mac on the block, Johnny Mac wins the veto, he comes off, who do you think is going to go up?
Okay. Probably going to be Austin. That would be who I think she would nominate. If something happened, she had to put up someone from Liston, it probably, I think, would be Austin.
Austin, okay.
Because she's a little closer to Liz. But like the question said, I've thought about this. If you wind up, let's say, Austin and Steve stay on the block, right? Liz is going to vote out Steve, right? She's not going to vote out Austin. She's going to vote out Steve. If I were Johnny Mac at that point, my thought process would be Vanessa cannot play for HOH. So she's completely vulnerable. But everyone can play for the veto. So that's a non-issue, right? It's not a weighing mechanism. So she's vulnerable. I would vote out Austin. I would force the tie and screw Vanessa even further by making her have to even more so put herself out there.
Well, honestly, Ronnie, yes. And Ronnie, I think that is what we are going to see on eviction night.
Good, good.
If that happens. Now, if it's a 1-1 tie, Vanessa's got to make a decision. She's got to get some more blood on these hands, y'all, as Godfrey Magwiza would say. What Austin. Is she going to do? She's voting on Austin, you think?
Yeah, and I tell you why.
Why?
Because I always say when I was in the house, you got to go with what you know, right? You have to go with what you know.
Right.
So at that point in time, Vanessa is faced with the ultimatum between Austin or Steve. I mean, you can swap out Liz. You can swap out Johnny Mac. It sure. doesn't matter.
It's well, the same for this, scenario. For hypothetically, we're going to say Steve yeah. and Austin. Okay.
Right. She's faced with either you vote out Austin and you break up the duo that you know is a problem.
Right.
Or you vote out Steve and keep the duo that you know is a problem and maybe they'll take you. If she voted out Austin, Steve and Johnny Mac might be so thankful she didn't vote out Steve that they're going to take her to the final three and they'll target Liz in the final four or right. another person.
Okay. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. I mean,
bad situation for
yes,
her.
Yes. It's a terrible bad. Situation. And again, this is why you don't win HOH, Vanessa, yeah. in this spot. Terrible. Yeah. Ah.
I went into the house in terms of comps, only having two comp decisions I wanted to win. One was the last HOH before jury. Yeah, I didn't win it. We saw how well that went for me. and two, I did not want to win the final five HOH, so I could maybe win the final four HOH, have an easy week, and breeze into the final three.
And Ronnie, it's hilarious. And again, this comes back to you. We're so like-minded. I also went into my season saying, all right, I got to not win. I want to win final six. Don't want five,
right.
four and three, and I'm good. And now
yes.
I'm self-aware enough to know I probably wasn't going to win any of those competitions anyway. But I knew for a fact I did not want to win five, because if you win final five HOH,
you're screwed for four.
Unless yeah. unless you're Dan Gieseling, or unless you're one of these, you know, unless yeah. you're really set up well positionally, it's very, very tough to yes. win that thing and ultimately win the game, because that, you know, you want to have two shots of safety at final four.
Yes,
that
exactly.
Scary.
That's what I was going to say, because if you win that final five, you're putting all your eggs in that basket of that one veto. Whereas, like you just said, if you don't win the five, you get the shot at the HOH. And should you not win that, you still got the veto you were going to have anyway.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to, all right, quick question. Okay, so this is from Nina at Tenor84 on Twitter. She says, what's your take on Vanessa's HOH match? Thank you for watching all the way in Sweden. Isn't that amazing, Ronnie? I got people listening to my show from Sweden. That's great. Well, I think we kind of talked about this already. It's just very, very bad. Do you think this is one of the worst moves of the season, Ronnie?
For Vanessa, for sure, because, you know, I know you know this as well as I do. You don't really know for sure how things are going to go down, but you're talking about statistical odds, right?
Yes.
I mean, the less people, someone has to win every competition, of course. So the less people are in the house, the better your statistical odds of winning. So that's why you want to increase the number of games you can play in at that point. So
exactly.
I think winning this HOH is bad. I do. It's putting her in a it's a do or die situation for her next week. It really is.
Yeah. And I've talked about this several times. With on different interviews and with people on my cast, and even I remember being in the jury house talking with my good pal Kevin Martin about this, is that if you put yourself in a situation that in which you have to win out to win the game, that is very bad. You should be able to, a very good player, if you're a great player, you should put yourself in a spot where you don't have to win out, or the ideal spot I should say is where you do not have to win out. When you put yourself in a corner or that's what you have to do, unless your name is Frank Udy or or one of these huge competition beasts, or you know, James Ryan or one of these other guys, it's not a very good idea to try and win out. I mean,
even then you're going to lose one, and that's when they'll get you.
And that's
going to lose one.
And that is when they'll get you. Now, if you're going to put yourself in a spot where you have to win out, it's better to do it at final five than it is to do it at final eight or nine. But it's still very, very, it's not good. It's not good, especially when you're Vanessa, when you're such a huge target in the game.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Ronnie.
I was going to say, I really like James, and that's what I've said was wrong with James. He put himself in that situation weeks ago where he had to win out.
Yes.
And it just wasn't going to happen.
And I agree. I love James, too. James is great this season, but him taking that shot where him seeing the diary room, I love blood, just get it on me, I'm gonna get it all and wear it like war paint, and he's saying all this stuff. I mean, that's great television. I love watching it. But in terms of surviving in the game, I mean, and he almost did it. He almost pulled it off. But just
if he made it past that double elimination, he may have. Yeah.
If he if they would have not, again, and we talked about this earlier, if they would have voted out Julia, and if one of those other twins goes home in the double eviction or Austin, I think we may be talking about James or Meg being the winner of Big Brother 17. And that's one of those things that I guess we'll never know. But I agree. Yeah. I think that by putting himself in that spot, it was very tough for him. All right. The next question here comes from Thor at Thor Atkinson on Twitter. And he says, if Vanessa makes it to final two, do you think she will come clean with her strategy and lies or continue to play innocent? Now, this is a very interesting thing, Ronnie. What do you think Vanessa's going to do? Because all of these times, time and time again, Vanessa has been called out on her BS, to put it frankly, of all the things she's been doing. And she has said, no, like, I'm a good person. And I swear on this, I swear on that, I'm not doing anything. I'm good, I'm bad, I'm innocent, I'm not doing anything. But in the final two, I don't know if that's real. I don't think that's going to come across well, Ronnie. But do you think that's what she's going to do? Or do you think the light bulb is finally going to come on and she's going to own up to everything she's done in this game?
Well, if she's as good a player as everyone says she is, I think she should come clean. And how she should frame that confession is she should say, listen, this is Big Brother. It's a game of, you know, underhanded deeds and backstabbing and manipulation. And I know I said this in the game, but that's part of the game. And I said this, and I'm sorry if I hurt anyone's feelings, because I didn't want to hurt you on a personal level, but I had to do what I had to do to get to where I am. And I hope you respect that and vote for me, because I feel I did play the best game. That's what she should say. That's it. If she does that, I think she wins handily. Against anyone.
And I agree. And she has the resume to do that, Ronnie, 100%. And it's going to be interesting, though, because I don't know if she's going to do that. Yeah. And it's crazy that she
If she does it, I think she loses.
Right. I think she does. And I think that I'm not sure if his jury's going to be bitter or not. I don't think they'll be too bitter if Vanessa owns up to what she does. But if she goes into this situation where she says, no, I'm good, I played with honor and integrity. And again, going back to Survivor, I don't know if you watch Survivor South Pacific, but Coach Ben Wade, he was in the final two and he cut everybody and he wasn't very loyal. He did a great job. He played a very good game. But when he came to it to own up to what he did, he didn't do it. And as a result, he lost. And I think that if Vanessa doesn't do that, I'm going to be really disappointed. And two, I agree. I think that your Jackies, your Shelleys, your Beckys, they're not going to really reward that against, and especially in this season when it's a field of people who all have an argument in the final two. Yeah.
And something else that could work against Vanessa, and I do not agree with this. I don't think it's right, but I talked about this with Shima when I was in the house. Especially this seems to be the case in Big Brother, but it's definitely true for pretty much any reality show. A man and a woman can backstab, and they can do the same thing. For some weird reason, and I don't agree with it, people will reward a man more than they will a woman for doing that. So if Vanessa's up against a guy, like if she's up against any of the men, even if she confesses, there's the chance people may be like, oh, well, Vanessa's just a bitch. I'm not giving.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, and I agree with you. And that's, I don't know what that says. I guess that just, it says very poor things about society, but maybe. I agree, Ronnie. And I think this comes down back to Vanessa as a player. If Vanessa was a man, I think some people would be saying, whoa, Vanessa, one of the best players ever. And
yeah,
people are not too many people are really saying that this season. The Vanessa fans are huge. There are some people who love Vanessa. I personally have been critical of Vanessa myself, but I think that she's played a very solid game. And I don't know. I think that, yeah, it's unfortunate that is just, that's a thing. And I'm totally with you.
Look back at BB6, Yvette and Maggie, two of the most, I mean, no one really liked them as players at the time, but they played good games.
Oh, yeah. And you can say that Yvette was unlikable or whatever, and that you didn't like the friendship and all that. And as she's a bad player for that. But really, I think Yvette played a solid game. And Maggie, okay. Maggie is one of the better players to play Big Brother, in my opinion.
She knew she was viewing it. Oh, yeah. I've spoken with Maggie about this after I got off the show.
Oh, really? Okay. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I met Maggie in Vegas right after my season. She's a really super nice lady. Really cool.
Yeah.
But she was the leader. She was viewed as the leader of that side of the house.
Yes.
And yet she somehow got to the end and won?
Yes, and that's the thing, Ronnie. And also, too, like, Maggie had a cult following her around doing whatever she would say. Yep. And, like, they just kept her around. Like, that is a very – I think just because everyone loved the Sovereign Six so right. much, I think that plays a part into it as well. Because I think that if we switched them out, – and this wouldn't have happened because he was such a loose cannon, but if it was Eric, if it was Cappy in that situation instead of Maggie, if he was there and he would have won the game and all this stuff would have happened, I still think that people would have downplayed his win because he was associated with the friendship. So I think I think there's two things going on there. I think that it's because, yes, she's not a man, but also because that alliance was just so hated by America and by Big Brother fans everywhere. But I agree. I think Maggie's a great Big Brother player and somebody who is very, very underrated.
I just hope that doesn't happen to Vanessa, that phenomenon. I hope she doesn't get to the end. And maybe that's why a female player hasn't beaten a man in the final two yet. I don't know. Maybe, but I hope Vanessa is able to overcome that. I would like to see that happen, as we said earlier. I guess time will tell.
Time will tell. Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, again, there's a time for it to happen. Time is now.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question from Loki Lokinen. And Loki Lokinen wants to know, who do you guys think should return from this season? Ronnie. So there's a lot of people on this season. Let's just cut it down to three. Who would be three people that you would like to see come back on an all-star season right now?
Okay. I'm going to split it into two divisions because I've seen a lot of people talk about this on Twitter and I've joined in the conversation. If, and when we talked about one of these scenarios earlier in just now, if they did a true all-stars, which I view a second chance different than an all-stars, because to me, an all-stars is someone that was a phenomenal player, you know, and you're putting the best of the best in there.
Yes.
I think that's James. I think James is going to be in some type of all-stars.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
Yes. But I think we have two potential people if they were to do like a second chance season, which, by the way, I think if Big Brother ever did a second chance season, they would not let America vote because I think they want to control who's in the house. Well, I think they would want to pick who would be in the house.
But it's interesting. It's funny. And I remember this is hilarious, but I was on my season, Ronnie. Okay. And we used to do this late night podcast in the house and we would just talk about everything. And that's part of how I ended up doing my podcast on robasawebsite.com because Rob Cesternino saw that and said, hey, Jordan, dude, just do this on my website. And I was like, all right, sure. And it's great. Now I'm here. But one of the things we talked about was how crazy it was that Big Brother 7, they let America have a say in the cast for that all-star season. And I was saying to everybody, man, that is never, ever happening again on a reality show. Sure enough, I get out of the house and it's already happened.
Well, I don't think it'll happen for Big Brother.
It won't happen for Big Brother, but Survivor did it, and they did it, and they put their whole cast together by America. I'm with you, Ronnie. I don't think they would do that.
No.
But you never know, my friend. But anyway, you were saying you don't think that's going to happen. I agree with you.
I think the two, but if they did a second chances thing, whether by America's vote or they just picked, I think we're going to see either Davon or Audrey or both.
Interesting. Interesting. I think that those two would be great if given another shot. I love Mama Day.
Maybe Jason.
I think Jason would be. And that's the problem with the season is there's so many great people. I would love to see Jason. He would be great on top of Mama Day and Audrey. And I think that those two, I think there's a good chance we probably will see those people again, in my opinion, Audrey especially. And I think it doesn't necessarily bring lots of drama, but in terms of game, and this is who I really was – I was really hoping this person would come back, and that was Shelly, because I think that Shelly had a lot of potential in the game. And on a second chance, I think she could do very well. And I think the obvious person for – if it's just a general – bring people back season. I think unless he wins, I think Johnny Mac is a person that America loves. He is somebody that they have fallen in love with, the rock star dentist. Now, I don't know if he would come back because he has said on the live feeds that he's said, I don't know if I would come back. And Steve's been the same way. Although, I don't know. I think it's a little different once you've been out of the game and you kind of, because I've had conversations with people on my season who have said before, oh yeah, I would never do this again. And now we're like, get me back in there. I want to go back. So I don't know, but I agree. It would be interesting. So you say those three. So yeah, I'll give you Jason. So Ronnie said Davon, Audrey, James. So I will say, just to have some different people, Jason, Shelly, and Johnny Mac, because I think that those three could also bring something to the table. This is one of those rare seasons too. I think honestly, we could just do a replay of Big Brother 17 and it would be awesome.
Right. Yeah. You know, Julie said that in an interview once years ago. I read an interview with her where she said, I always kind of wanted to see a whole season with the same people replayed just to see what would happen.
Yeah. And I think that would be really good. A really good season. And
It would be interesting.
I, for one, Ronnie, would love to see Big Brother 6 redone.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine Big Brother 6 again? Every single person back in that house.
Yes.
That would be something. That would be a great season. I mean, there's a lot of them that would be great.
If I were going to see a season replayed, I would want it to be someone like 6 or, you know, one of the seasons that happened a while ago, not only because, you know, I want to see the whole season replayed, but they've had enough time to grow as people outside of just Big Brother.
Yes.
It would be interesting to see how their life experiences have changed them from the first time. Because, I mean, like I said, if I were to ever play again, whether it be whatever, even if it were next season, that'd be 7 years. So
crazy, right?
I will be 37 versus 30. I'm a much different person now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. So. And that's the thing, right? I think that would be amazing to watch. And again, you're a person who I would love, and we were talking about this in the pre-show, somebody who I would love to see on a second chances type of season, because your game would be we'd get Ronnie 2.0. I mean, again, you're completely different now. You're so much old. You've aged a bit, which is good.
Yeah.
That would help you for the game. You've played the game. You know where you went wrong. You had so much potential on your season. Mm-hmm. I think that you would do a really good job if you were to go at it again. So there's so many people like that. And again, that's why I think if they were to do this second chance style thing, and I'm really crossing my fingers and hoping that Survivor is excellent this season, because
I'm excited for Survivor.
And that, me really too. Excited. And I think that will really open the door. And I think that we could see that come to Big Brother, because we've seen that on Survivor. Survivor started bringing some players back besides or beyond an all-star, and Big Brother started doing that. We had that phase kind of where it was, well, I don't know, really, we had 11, we had Jesse back, 13, we had people back, 14, we had people back.
Yep.
So I don't know. We'll see. I think it would be great.
If they redid 6 specifically, how amazing would it be to see Janelle and Yvette team up.
And like team yeah, up. Right? That would be cool. That would be sweet. Amazing. That would be amazing. I mean, and then somebody like James Ryan, who he's no longer with his ex Sarah, his ex girlfriend now. Like,
oh, that would be
that kind of stuff, right? Like that would be cool. And
okay, Howie, it's gotta be six.
Gotta be six. And Howie's a weatherman now. Like all this stuff. Although I feel like Hurricane Howie is still Hurricane Howie, but. Oh man, that would be great. Or another one too, Ronnie, would be All Stars. If they just redid Big Brother, they're like, all right, guess what, guys? It's Big Brother All Stars, but it's the original cast of Big Brother All Stars. That would be very fun to see as well.
You know, and All Stars also brings up an excellent point. People, you know, I think All Stars, we saw four people returning from six because of the vote, right?
Yes.
I don't think if they did like another all returning people, I really don't think we'd see more than three or four people from the same season.
Oh, I don't think you can. No way.
Probably no more than two or three, actually.
Well, yeah. And it really, if you think about it, right, if we go back to Big Brother All-Stars, we had those four from season six. Mm-hmm. Other than that, did we have more than two from any season? I don't think we did, right?
No,
I
mean, we had Nokomis and Jace from five.
And, oh yeah. And we
had Diane.
So we had three. Okay. So we had three. And then four, we had Allison and we had Erica. And then, yeah. So
Will and Boogie.
And so, okay. So it would be
Marcellus and Danielle
from three. So it would be interesting to see, but I agree with you. I think that because, I mean, even then, okay, we had one season with four representatives and we had one season with three representatives, right. But
and they were the two most recent.
They were the two most recent seasons. But also if you think about that, that was really after five seasons really of Big Brother. Cause we're not really count. I mean, I guess you can count Big Brother one, but so, okay. Six seasons of Big Brother. That's what they did. That's the pool that they came up with. It has been after this season ends, I believe. Well, we've had 10 seasons since All-Stars. So I think that the pool would be much more diluted. I don't think we would see those, any season that was stacked with four, let alone three people.
I think they would go all the way back before All-Stars even.
Exactly.
Second chance thing, they go from one on.
Exactly. That would be awesome. Oh man, I want to see that so bad. All right. Okay. So we're going to take one last question. That's going to come from the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. So if you want to learn more about becoming a patron of Rob Has a Podcast, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/patron for more information and you can learn all about that. Now, and you can get your special question asked in this format at the end of the show. So here we go. Last question of the episode. Now, I've got a couple here. This is tough. We're going to take this one from Matt Ligori, and he says, rank these BB showmances from the past few seasons in terms of gameplay. Okay, Ronnie, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Shane and Danielle, Macranda, Hayden and Nicole, Clay and Shelley, Liz and Austin. How would you rank those?
In terms of gameplay?
In terms of gameplay, how would you rank those groups? So we have five groups here. This is an interesting one. I kind of like this group that we have here.
Well, I think we can't entirely be conclusive with the Liz Austin because we have yet to see how it plays out. Maybe they'll make the final two. I don't know.
We don't know. So why don't we just because we don't know about them, let's omit Liz and Austin just because we can't really know for a fact. So we got four. So Shane and Danielle, Macranda, Hayden and Nicole, Clay and Shelley.
Well, I have to say Shane and Danielle number one, just because they made it the furthest together.
Interesting. Okay. So you're going to say they're number one. All right.
I'm going off empirical things such as how far they made it together.
Just like Audrey, you're empirical evidence, Ronnie.
Yeah. Okay. So that leaves Macranda,
Hayden Nicole.
Okay. I think Macranda's number two.
Okay.
Because they made it the furthest together. They won the most competitions together. And I think they were the most interesting.
Okay.
Next, I'm probably going to say Hayden and Nicole both made it to jury.
Yes.
So it's got to be Hayden Nicole.
Interesting. Okay, so you're going very results oriented with your rankings here. See, I would go again, like how I like to view Big Brother people. Again, I've mentioned this before, is the simulator. If you put people in a simulator 100 times with 100 random people on a season, how they would do, and just looking at their skill for the game, in my opinion. And if I were to do it, if I were to rank them, so you went Shane and Danielle 1, McCranda 2, Hayden Nicole 3, Clay and Shelley 4.
Yes.
I would go McCranda number one. I think that those two as a unit, just because they controlled every single week, pretty much up until they went home. Amanda was such a dominating force in her season. McCray played a very great game as well. Both of them together were a very formidable pair. So I would put those guys at number one. Number two, that's hard. I would probably say, honestly, I think I might say Clay and Shelley, just because Clay and Shelley, again, we're running their season very effectively early on. It was disappointing how they went down quickly. So I guess, you know, that could be up for debate. But I think that both of them have a lot of skill for the game. Socially, they were both very, very strong players. Mm-hmm. Three, I would probably go. Now, this one's a little harder. I would probably Shane and Danielle, I love you, but I think I got to say Hayden and Nicole. I think I got to go them. I really do. And I think Shane and Danielle got to be my last, just because I think just on the strength of Dan, Brittany, and Ian, I think that was a big reason why they made it. And I think without those guys guiding them, showing them where to go and what to do, I think that they don't do as well. If we see Shane and Danielle on a season by themselves, you know, with a bunch of new players, I don't know. I don't know if they or if the coaches never come into the game. Well, though the coaches help them as well. So, yeah, right. I don't know. I think that would be interesting to see. But, yeah, that's probably how I'd rank them. So
I can see that.
Differences. But, yeah, yours is very results oriented. Mine is very hypotheticals because I love to think of my brain is always working about, oh, I think like this could happen and this move changed this and all this other stuff. But anyway, a very interesting discussion ranking those showmances. All right, Ronnie. Well, I think that wraps things up here, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Big Brother.
Thank you for having me.
I really, really do appreciate it. You guys can follow Ronnie on Twitter. He's at Ronnie Talbot. Ronnie, anything you want to plug before we get out of here today?
No, just love talking to everyone on Twitter. And I watch Survivor and all the other reality shows. I'm reality nuts, so.
There we go. Awesome. So yeah, you guys. So seriously, yeah. Tweet Ronnie and let him know how good of a job he did today. Cause I thought Ronnie was awesome. Ronnie, you were a great guest. I really do appreciate you having you on. I'm going to have you back on again if you would like, because
anytime.
Plenty of talks we can have beyond Big Brother 17, I'm sure. So I really do appreciate it. All right. So again, if you guys want to support this show, a few ways you can do that. You can, again, subscribe via iTunes. It's robhaswebsite.com/rehappyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's Reality TV Rehap Ups. So on YouTube. So definitely if you want to not miss any of our episodes, our live shows, definitely check that out and subscribe to that. Give this video a thumbs up if you like it. That would mean a lot as well. Next week, I will be back talking Big Brother 17. Now, my schedule is going to be a little bit wonky. Normally, the show it's moved to Saturdays. We're going to be doing them on Saturdays. But next week, it's the Big Brother Canada 4 open casting call in my hometown in Vancouver. So I have to go to that. So I will not be here during the normal time. So I probably will be recording the episode during the week. So if you want to just stay tuned to Reality TV Rehap Ups on iTunes, and you can find that as well. So robhaswebsite.com/rehapups. You won't miss that episode. I'll have a podcast hopefully up for you guys by Friday or Saturday to talk about the rest of Vanessa's HOH and all of the crazy things that went on there. Okay, we need a hashtag for this episode, Ronnie. So if somebody can tweet us a hashtag and let us know what you thought of the show. I was thinking season 6 redo, because we both love that idea so much. Does that work? Okay,
yes.
So let's do it. Okay, so if you like the show, use the hashtag season 6 redo. Again, I am at Jordan Parhar. Ronnie is at Ronnie Talbot. Okay, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. For Ronnie Talbot, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag season 6 redo. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.